people can purchase a member's ticket. You become a member for a day by purchasing a ticket into the member's section at Royal Randwick and at Rosehill Gardens all through August. So looking for people to just take that experience, a premium experience. It's just $60. You can either do it online, or if you're out at the course today, at Gate A in the infield or in the members' concierge at the in the members' section there. So be a member for a day and see what it's like to be in the premium area.
Yeah, exactly. You can do that getting to Randwick. The gates open bright and early at 10:30 this morning with the early races. There'll be lots of sporting people out there today. Brett enjoying it as well before they head overseas on a cricket tour. So let's hope they enjoy it, the cricketers. Good on you, Brett. We'll talk to you later in the morning.
Thanks, Andrew. Good luck to all the punters.
Brett Devine from the Australian Turf Club.
Racing HQ is brought to you by TAB. Bet you'll love a $150,000 projected Big Six pool at Royal Randwick today. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly. Sky Sports Radio now presents Racing HQ. Setting up your racing day with race news, interviews, track reports, previews and TAB markets.
And it's just gone 7 o'clock in the morning, Saturday, August 5. For those that have set the alarm for 7, we welcome you to Racing HQ. You can listen to us on Sky Sports Radio. You can watch us on Sky Racing 1 and Sky Thoroughbred Central for the next couple of hours. Looking forward to bringing it all to you. Randwick, it's a soft 7. That track has improved with a little bit of cool breeze yesterday. A soft 7, penetrometer 5.91, and the rail is true for the first time since May 27. Kembla Grange, it's a soft 5 this morning. That track has improved a little bit as well. Doomben, fine and a good 4. And down in Melbourne, they're going to get the wins. Not as strong as last Saturday, but the track is a good 4. And the rail position for Flemington today is at 6 metres. They're the key reports. I'll tell you something, he's still away. In fact, he's in Darwin, Duff. He'll be back next week. So we bring on the big star again, Mike Fraser. Morning to you, Mike.
Good morning, Andrew. I don't know about big star.
Nice to be here. You're here, Mike. You're here working, mate.
Yeah, exactamundo. Yeah, look, first Saturday meeting of the new season. Looking forward to it. Missile Stakes Day today at Group 2 level. I've got to tell you, this first race, it's a hot little three-year-old field. Even though it's only a benchmark 75, there's some very promising youngsters in that. And of course, you mentioned at the top of the show there, Jockey Celebration Day today. I just say there are plenty of dangerous jobs out there, Andrew, but there aren't too many where an ambulance follows you around where you ply your trade. So, you know, hats off to our jockeys. They're the bravest men going around. They're all, you know, tiny little guys, but, you know, they get the job done and they don't give a second thought to the danger that they face every day. So, yeah, hats off to them.
Mike, you've been a track work rider and a rider on a horse. I said to Des O'Keefe about 10 minutes ago from just talking about the day that there's nothing like riding a horse, and that's why we talk about and we emphasise today that we need to help the jockeys that have suffered injuries and things like that. The one thing I don't want to do is make it drama either, that, you know, oh, people don't want to do it, but there's nothing like riding a horse, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. Look, my jockey career was pretty short. I was always pretty, I broke my leg twice in falls going to the track, so I think I had maybe 250 race rides, but I rode track work for 15 to 20 years and I used to love it. I just used to adore it, even riding the bad horses that had a bit of attitude, and that there was nothing better than, you know, getting on the course proper there or getting on the grass and, you know, letting them slide along in a gallop. It's an immense feeling. And, you know, race riding's, you know, up another level, of course. But, you know, yeah, nothing better than that, that's for sure.
Yeah. And, look, it's a question that I used to do. I don't do TV interviews anymore. But you used to say when the horse, you know, it was a big, strong win or something, you always used to say to the jockey, how did that feel? I mean, it's hard for a jockey to sort of summarise it in words, just how good it is.
Oh, exactly right, exactly right. It's a bit like when you get ride a, well, now I can only talk about track gallops, but you ride one that, you know, goes really, really good. You let it down, it accelerates and it dashes and the rhythm's there and they feel good underneath you. Not a bit of feeling, you know. It's a bit like accelerating a Ferrari. But anyway,
Now, how's Randwick? You would have walked it?
I did. Look, I walked it on Thursday afternoon before we had the rain, and I thought it was between a 5 and a 6. There's a fair bit of scuff out there. Navesh mentioned that on Formline on Thursday night. This track's got a bit of rip and tear into it. So where they've had the last two meetings where they had the rail out 7 metres, where it played okay to be on pace and towards the inside, and then they put it out 10 metres where they wanted to get away from the rail. So that two-thirds of the track has been sort of torn up a little bit, as to be expected, you know, with these winter meetings. So it, Thursday, as I said, it was between a 5 and a 6, and then I went there Friday afternoon again after we had the rain, thinking, oh, well, you know, it's going to be worse. Well, I was pleasantly surprised, and I'm pretty convinced this Kenzo repair work has had something to do with the profile of this track. I think the fact that the rain came so heavily, I just think it's draining away a lot quicker. Navesh put it out as a 7 this morning. I don't like to disagree with him because he's the man that looks after the track, but I think it's better than that. I do. I honestly think it's better than that. I think you'll find that we could get one or two upgrades today. When I walked it yesterday afternoon from the half-mile round of the home turn, on the inside, it was barely a 5. It really was. I just think that moisture's being sucked towards the inside there. It's dried out nicely on the fence. When you get in the straight, you need to get a little bit off the rail, you know, maybe 4 to 5 horses. There's a better pad of grass there, but always the case when the rail's normal at Randwick, there's a little bit more moisture in the ground there, and that was the case on Friday afternoon. So that ridge that lines up with the steward's tower, with the chief steward's tower at the top of the straight at the past the winning post, that seems to be the best place to be. Now, this track, as I said, cut out a bit last meeting, so just you have to monitor that because of all this tear on the track, whether they do get a little bit wider. But initially, I just think fine on the fence, round of the turn, then just get a little bit wider in the straight.
Well, it's great information, and I know jockeys always listen to you on a Saturday, particularly when it's at Randwick, having walked the track a couple of times. A Penno this morning of 5.91 and a soft 7 is where they've marked it to start the day. Josh Parr is probably one of those jockeys. Morning to you, Josh.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. It's vital information, and it's always good to hear Mike's opinion.
Yeah, no, when he lives close to Randwick, and we know that he gets out there and walks it a couple of times. Josh, it is Jockey Celebration Day, and we remember jockeys today that sadly may not be with us any longer, but also jockeys that have been injured, and I know that we've been talking about it. Relate your words, mate. It must be terrific to jump aboard a horse and, as Mike said, let it down and sprint.
Yeah, exactly right. It's, and touching on Jockey Celebration Day for the National Jockeys Trust, it can be a very emotional day for some people. And let's hope it's a nice day out for everyone involved in the trust, and we all have a safe day, right? So safe day racing.
Yeah, you're so right. Let's hope it's just all safe. Righto, Mike, let's have a chat with Josh. He's got some key chances today.
He certainly has. Good morning, Josh.
Yeah, good morning, Mike.
Yeah, look, you've got some lovely rides here today. You kick off in the first with one for David Payne. Now, you've never ridden this horse, the Mighty Fed, in a race, but you know, I see you've got a feel for him in his most recent trial where you just let him cruise around in behind them, and he certainly does love the give in the ground.
Yeah, that's for sure. I'm glad I got on him in the trial on Tuesday. Just this week, just to get a feel for the horse. He's very laid-back customer, and I was really pleased with how he felt. I asked him to quicken just at the top of the straight just to make sure it was there. And once he let me know that he was there, he was comfortable, I grabbed hold of him again and let him work to the line under his own steam. But that was a nice trial.
Yeah, it certainly was. Over to race two, you ride this horse a long time ago for Gay. Now, see, you went on him first up at Canterbury there over 12.50, and he was a beaten favourite last start over 1,500 now. Gay stepped him up to the 1,800. But what are your thoughts about that?
Oh, I think it'll suit her. It just really, really looks like she's wanted this trip. She's bred to get this trip. She definitely looks like she should and feels like she should when you're sitting on top of her. She's a very fit horse, and she looks in tremendous condition. I'm a fan of this filly. I think if she does produce the same ability that we think she should, I think she can handle this race okay.
Okay. Over in the third, Imperator Augustus, this is the first of two rides for John Thompson. Certainly gets conditions to suit here with a soft track, that, as is evident with his last start win when you were on board him at Canterbury there on that heavy surface.
Yeah, spot on there, Mike. He loves to give in the ground. He does like to get up on speed and bowl along in front. That seems to be his best racing pattern. the day I went on him at Randwick, it was a wet track, and then again at Canterbury it was wet. He just really loves the thing out of the track, and so I'm happy about today's surface for this horse's chances.
Yeah, over to race 5, Life O'Brien. Also know this horse quite well. Got carved up a little bit last Saturday, and would you look to take a sit behind the Melbourne visitor, Ashley Marie, or would you rather lead?
At the 2400, I'd like to take a sit. I think the further we can go with the trail, the better for this horse. As you said, he got carved up there the other day, and he was still very brave late, but with the sit, I think he produces a better turn of foot at the back end of a trip like that.
Yeah, okay. The second ride for John Thompson, this is a good ride for you, Invincible Knight. You're having your first ride on him, but his horse is having a super prep. You would think of some repeat of his effort when second 2 weeks ago. It gives him a super chance in this race.
Yeah, isn't he in fantastic form? And he most previous run was exceptional. He made a very long run on the horse, and he was still fighting the finish out. The winner come off his back at the top of the straight and was just too good. But what an exceptional performance that was, and I'm very pleased to be on him today. I think he's my best rider of the day.
Yeah, certainly is. Over to race 8, Lion Cachant. This horse is not without some chance. He's had a little bit far too much to do. His last couple of starts, he's been off the track in both. And I was just looking at his stats. 5 of his 6 wins have been at 1,000. So all holds well, but he could perform well.
Yeah, that's right. He just seems to be a 1,000-metre specialist, as you said. He's just a really fast horse. When he got to the front there at Hawkesbury, when Ty won on him, I think it was 3 starts back, he went fast and just kept running. It was a strong win, I thought. So if he's able to produce a performance like that, albeit on a soft track, yeah, you never know. The 1,000 metres is definitely his go.
Yeah, exactly. And over to the last, you're right, Denpur for Peter and Paul Snowden. Having the first ride on this mare. Look, she's certainly got the fresh form, but would you say there's some issue with her on a soft ground?
Yeah, that's the only issue, isn't it? It's, she is a first-up specialist, so that's definitely in her favour. But, yeah, let's hope. And as you said, you thought the track we might get an upgrade throughout the day or upgrade or two, so let's hope that's the case for Denver. But we can be sure she'll be turned out in good condition and hopefully she's there when it matters.
Yeah, exactly. All right, well, thanks very much for your time, Josh, and the best of luck today, buddy.
Pleasure. Thanks very much, guys.
Good on you, Josh. Josh Parr going through all of these rides, naming Invincible Knight the best of them, though, in race 6, number 2. Mike, the early scratchings, we'll just keep an eye on those. The only new one, or two of them now this morning, race 3, number 10, Dwarf Star has just come out. Race 3, number 10, and then... Did you have that included, Mike?
Oh, I thought it was an excellent chance at $11. I had it on as my number one selection and best value of the day. Yuck.
All right. I could hear the little yelp in the background there. And in the last, number 13, No Interest has come out this morning. Race 9, number 13. Fanoon came out late yesterday. It may not be in the papers. Race 1, number 7. So the extras from late yesterday afternoon, race 1, number 7, race 3, number 10, and race 9, number 13. Well, over the last 3 or 4 days, and today it is Jockey Celebration Day for the National Jockeys Trust, Hugh Bowman, Corey Brown, Stephen Baster, Kathy O'Hara, and a couple of other people have walked the famous Kokoda Trail. Corey Brown left Port Moresby yesterday afternoon at 2 o'clock, and he joins us right now this morning on Racing HQ. Welcome home, Corey.
Thank you, Andrew. How are you?
Very well, mate. This is something very special, and I know you wanted to get back for today with being a jockey for a Saturday meeting, but take us through the last 3.5-4 days. What was it like walking Kokoda Trail?
Look, I'll be totally honest, Andrew. I underestimated it a little bit. I did go out there with an open mind. Obviously, knew that we were going to be climbing some pretty steep mountains, but once getting there and getting involved, it was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be, especially doing it over the 3.5 days which we done it in.
That's the one thing, you would have done it in very quick time. Did you have time to reflect on what it was, Kokoda?
We did. We at certain points of the trek, our tour guide Mark, he would pull us up and explain things like what happened at certain points, how obviously they fought and how the Japanese pushed them back several miles back towards Port Moresby. But yeah, look, we did learn a lot. If you were to do it over 7 or 8 days, you'd obviously learn a lot more, and I'd have more time to explain sort of what went on. But no, we did learn enough, and we've seen some exciting positions that the Anzacs were in. We've seen actually live ammunition still lying in the scrub. It's all been sort of set up, and you can see sort of like one of their campsites and stuff. So yeah, look, it's very, very it's a great thing to go and have a look at. Put it that way,
Corey. I was talking to Peter Moody because he only did it, I think, a week or two before you. You guys have done it this week, and he said that you can sense. I mean, it happened so many years ago, but you can still sense how in the hell these people would have gone through what they did.
He's right, Andrew. Like I said, when you get to one of the points where they actually won the battle, and everything was sort of like given back to the Australians, it's, they've got the war memorial there, and it's set between two mountains overlooking sort of Kokoda. And it's a surreal feeling when you get there. It was definitely a great experience. And yeah, I can understand what Peter Moody's saying. You can definitely feel the, I don't know what it is, but you can feel something there when you get there. It's a great thing to do.
Corey, yourself and Hugh and Kathy and Stephen Baster, you're obviously very fit people. Now, Moods is, you know, he's okay. What do you need to do to prepare for something like this?
Look, I mean, obviously we're very, very fit. Sort of us jockeys, we're always on horseback. We're always doing something. So the fitness is there, but you use a lot of different muscles. There's a lot of climbing that goes on. I'll be honest, my knees were shot by the time we got to the end. I was obviously full of painkillers and anti-inflammatories just to get through. But yeah, like it's a bit of a mental challenge, to be honest. If you do it over a lot longer time, you could, you know, like yeah. I think you'd get through it, you'd cope a lot better. But it's more the mental challenge, Andrew. Like you're stuck out in the middle of nowhere. There's no Ubers or anyone to pick you up and take you back home. So you've just got to push through it. Let me tell you that I think between even the four of us and Chris Smith, James that was with us, there was all times when all of us, I think, were thinking in the back of our minds if we could pull out, but I think we would have, but yeah, we just had to keep pushing on. That's about it.
Yeah exactly. You did it for yourself, obviously, to do it, but also to raise money for the Jockeys Trust and also the Mark Hughes Foundation. People can still donate to this. We talked today on the National Jockeys Trust through their website at njt.org.au, but Corey, you can also donate to walkingtohelp.com.au, walkingtohelp.com.au, and the Mark Hughes Foundation that many people know about as well. You were there for a couple of special reasons.
Yeah, no, that's right, Andrew. You know, like today is obviously the National Jockeys Trust Day celebration day. So, yeah, look, it was two great causes, and we really, really enjoyed ourselves. Although it was tough at times, we had a good time, but walking for two great causes, like you said, the National Jockeys Trust and the Mark Hughes Foundation. So, yeah, get behind us and give it a bit of a plug and get on the website and help support the Injured Jockeys Trust and also the Mark Hughes Foundation as well.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I fully respect you haven't done, you're doing your form this morning or you did it on the plane. One of your key rides today is probably Invincible Gem and the big one. She's a nice mare.
She's a very, very nice mare. I'm really happy to be picking up the ride on her. Chris Lee's contacted me a couple of weeks ago, obviously, to get on her. It wasn't a hard decision to choose from. Like, she's got great. She's a quality racehorse, and Chris said she's going really, really well. And whatever she does today, she's going to improve on. I expect her to run really well. She's a quality horse, and she hasn't drawn the best of barriers. She's drawn a little bit sticky. I haven't done a lot of the speed maps really yet, but she should run really well with Joe and what Chris told me about her.
I'll bring Mike Fraser in just on the missile, Mike. There looks to be four or five that could actually lead the race.
Yeah, there certainly does. Good morning, Corey. She looks to
morning,
get
Mike.
She looks to get a hot tempo up front to suit her, and just the speed map I've actually got, I've got her maybe three pairs back and finding a good spot, maybe one off the rail. So I don't think the map will be too much of a problem for you. You've just got to find some clear air in the straight.
Yeah, no, she's a quality horse, and like I said, I was really happy for Chris to be ringing and put me on. And I know she's tried up at Gosford. She tried really well with Adam Bullock on her, and she should be a great chance.
Yeah, just before we let you go, you've got one really good ride that you know quite well, the Chickabella.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
She's been really impressive up to 1600. I can't really see any issue with her going out to the 1800.
Oh, I've got no problem at all with her getting to the 1800. The other day when she led him up at Warwick Farm over the 1600. She's a funny little horse, this. She's nothing to look at. She's no all paint. She's undersized. She's one of the toughest horses I've ever ridden for her size and her attitude. She's just a little bomb ride, and going up to the 1800, I think she'll to the lead him a merry dance, and she'll give him something to chase. And she's as tough as nails. She should have, you know, like next door name. She should really have the three wins in Sydney. When she runs second at Canterbury, you'll notice on the replay with about 25 to go, she blundered on a slow going track, and she not cost herself the race. But if she hadn't have blundered, she would have toughed it out and actually fought back to win. But the win the other day at Warwick Farm, she just put pay to him, and she won really well. So yeah, the step up to 1800 is definitely not going to bother her, and she'll definitely give him a merry sight.
Yeah, look, just. I was just going to say the only other thing about that race there, a long time ago, look, is another runner in the race that looks a logical leader also. You don't have to lead, do you?
No, I don't have to lead, but I'll tell you, when she runs third at the farm, two starts back, she got cover, and I don't think she likes getting cover. We worked her out when we took her to the Hawkesbury trials. It was her second trial coming up from Tasmania. I just let her run in the trial, so we just thought, look, she's a free-running horse, but... At Warwick Farm, I took the sit on her behind a hot speed, but she doesn't like being behind or cluttered up. So I don't mind sitting second, but she'll be definitely outside the lead where she's got plenty of daylight and she can just roll at her own tempo. So, yeah, she doesn't have to lead, but she just needs clear running basically the whole race.
Sweet.
Good on you, Corey. We won't go through all of them, mate, because you're doing your form, as you say, arriving back overnight. Congratulations to you and to all the others that have walked Kokoda Trail this week. It's a magnificent achievement by you, and to raise money for two different causes. I'll give those email or addresses again shortly for our listeners and viewers, but well done yesterday or during the week, mate.
Excellent. Thank you, Andrew.
Fantastic.
Thanks, Corey. Corey Brown joining us, walking Kokoda Trail with Chris Smith, Hugh Bowman, Stephen Baster, Cathy O'Hara, and a tour leader. You can go to either of the web pages. You can donate to both, whatever you want to do. You can go to njt.org.au for the National Jockeys Trust, njt.org.au, or for the Mark Hughes Foundation, you can go to walkingtohelp.com.au, walkingtohelp.com.au. Mike, just listening to Corey, you can hear that he did it in 3.5 days. I think he'd love to go back and do it in a slower time. It must be a special place to go.
Yeah, certainly. And he said his knees are a bit shot. I hope his knees hold up for some of these rides today. But, yeah, look, I've never done it. I don't know that I ever will do it. But, yeah, hats off to them. And, yeah, it would be a very emotional trek to take, for sure and certain. I wonder how Huey pulled up.
Yeah, well, it'll be interesting just to know. When they all come back, we can maybe get them on all at the one time to talk about it. But the emotion of just walking it...
I spoke to somebody that did walk the trail, and they said the one thing they found on that, he said there's very little flat walking. It's either uphill or downhill, uphill or downhill. Yeah. I think it's about 90 kilometres, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, no, it's certainly up and down for sure. Hey, Chris Lees is hoping for an up day. He's got some key chances, and he joins us on Racing HQ. Morning to you, Chris.
Morning to you, Andrew.
Can we start with the Missile, I guess, because it's the biggest race of the day, the Group 2. We're on a soft 7, so the track's improved a little bit. We've got a bit of breeze around. How do you see your two horses here resuming on a soft 7?
Oh, they're both comfortable on that type of ground. Very pleased with how they've prepared for the race. A couple of nice trials. Mindful that they're taking on horses that are up and going and race fit, which is, at this time of the year, certainly a big bonus for that type of horses.
And Mike Fraser's here.
Yeah, morning, Chris.
Good, Mike.
Yeah, look, La Romaine is clearly the best performed weight for age runner in the race with 3 of his 6 wins at Group 1 level. You would have been happy with both his trials?
Very happy. He had a soft trial first time round, which put him under a bit more pressure. His second trial, he's had a couple of nice gallops since. So he's certainly going to the races forward enough to perform first up, but mindful that he'll improve off the run.
Yeah, and as far as Invincible Gem goes, she's another that trialled well. She's highly talented. She kept improving last prep right through to that nose defeat in the Guineas. And where does she sit in a race like this today?
Yeah, look, you're not sure how these 3-year-old fillies come back their first time around at 4, taking on the boys and older horses. But she, as you said, she took some big steps last preparation. All the indications are that she's come back as good, if not better. But I don't think she's well placed, obviously, wait for age, and she'll revert back to mare's races after this run. But I can see her running a cheeky race. She's more forward than La Romaine. She's been in work a little longer, and being a smaller filly, come to hand quicker. But just question whether she's got the class.
Have they ever worked together?
They've done a fair bit of work together. Not a lot between them. He's a pretty laid-back character in track work. Not a great indication, but I probably think he's just got that class edge on.
Yeah.
And the makeup of the pace in the race, Chris, there's stacks of it, so your two would be just sitting off all that?
Yeah, I would expect they'll be ridden a little more conservative than what they normally are due to the perceived high tempo in the race. There's a lot of go-forward horses. These horses can race on speed when they get over a little further trip, but I'd imagine they're going to be midfield, maybe a touch worse.
Yeah, sweet. Look, you've also got some other runners. We go back to race 2 with Wangwa. He's been pretty consistent and closed well this preparation up to 1,500. Was that the why you wanted to try her out to 1,800 now?
Yeah, Mark, she's just not putting herself into the race. She's got no tactical speed, and she's hitting the line at all the runs, but just can't. We've always wanted to put her midfield, but she just can't put herself into the race. So gone that line, just step her up in trip. Hopefully, if she handles the trip and the backup, which all the indications are she will, she's done very well. She holds the condition. And if she can run out the 1,800, will she somehow?
Yeah, exactly. Your next run's over in race 6. You've got Olympic Academy now. Look, he's been well back both runs this preparation, but I've noted that this horse has done that before and has improved nicely third up, just like last preparation where he went ahead and won this track and distance. Now, I see you throwing the blinkers on for the second time.
Yeah, just need older horse, just time for a bit of a change with him. He's, as you said, he's actually raced all right mid-race, and then he's just looked like he was going to run into the race and just hasn't really finished his races off his first two runs back. He's probably better placed now over a touch further, and he wouldn't want it any wetter, but on his day, he's quite capable, but he can just mix his form a little bit, so hopefully the blinkers just switching back on, but he's worked well enough to be competitive.
Yeah, of course, you've got Admiral Jello, who looks a pretty good performer today. Took a while to find clear air first up here a fortnight ago. How's he come on since then? Looks likely to run well in this.
Yeah, he's come on really well. I think he's in for a good preparation. He will step up and trip off the back of today's run, so just whether second up, if he shows similar to his first up run, well, I think he'll be right in the race, just whether he races that little bit more now that he's getting ready for longer races. I think he's got a little bit of class on his side, and I think he's a horse with enough future to be suggesting he'll run well today.
Yeah, and of course you go over to race 8, you've got Launch Code. Now, his two wins is prepper and easy, accompanying Maiden and Class 2, but I think with your tactics, his last start there at Wyong, where you rode him off for speed, he certainly showed that he's got plenty of ability.
Yeah, he certainly has. Yeah, he come with good wraps, and deservedly so. He was quite impressive, his first up win. I think you're right. I just need one of the horses just need to be covered up a little bit. He just wants to do everything a little quick, and the alley is most important for him. So it looks like the race will set up nicely for him, but mindful that he's going from a Class 2 at Wyong to a Saturday race. It's a big jump, but he's got a bit of class on his side, and I think he'll run well with the right setup.
Yeah, that's true. And just before we let you go, what's the wash-up on that ex-Kiwi that you've got, Parker's Piece? A little bit disappointing at her first run for you.
Yeah, she's been retired and looking for a partner.
Okay. that's a shame. Anyway, thanks very much for your time, buddy.
Good on you, Mike. Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks a lot, Chris. Chris Lee is joining us there. Mike, not unexpected. That's a good idea. It's come out of the missile. It would be simply down to the rain-affected track, I presume.
Yep.
So that's race 7, number 5. That's a good idea out of the missile. We're going to take a break on Racing HQ. Still to come, we're going to talk to Tommy Berry. We've got Peter Snowden. And we'll talk to Jack Bruce, who's the foreman for Bjorn Baker as well, with Addictive Nature, one of those interesting horses going to Randwick today. It's a soft 7 there, the rail in the through, and a fine but windy day coming up for Randwick.
Guys, whether it's directly or indirectly, all of us have been impacted by cancer. Here's an easy way you can make a difference.
Cancer Council has launched the Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study. They're aiming to create one of the largest research groups ever with 50,000 Australians.
But we need more blokes. So if you're aged between 40 and 74, sign up at abcstudy.com.au. It can be done from home and in your own time.
It's all about investigating the causes of cancer and other diseases. The Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study. Get on board today at abcstudy.com.au.
If you love a bet, then we bet you'll love a $150,000 projected Big Six pool at Royal Randwick today and a $100,000 projected quaddy pool at Wentworth Park tonight. You can prepare for the punt, watch racing live and relive the action with Tab on your mobile. Download the Tab app or visit tab.com.au. Tab, we love a bet. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au for details. Gamble responsibly.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian offer the opportunity to own and race the half-brother to champion three-year-old Whoby Got You. Our colt is by sensational sire Fastnet Rock from Temple of Peace, a stakes place winner of three races. Whoby Got You was a dual Group 1 winner of 10 races, including the Alumba Stakes, Caulfield Guineas, and won over $3.25 million. Join the Dynamic Gay and Adrian team to race the Fastnet Rock half to Whoby Got You. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
Here's Sweet 16 for Winx.
It's a Winx Blitz.
She's a champion. She's a Winx. Champion.
Winx is coming.
Be at Royal Randwick Saturday, August 19 at Might and Power Race Day
to see Winx's highly anticipated return.
See the world's best turf horse live as she chases her 18th consecutive win. The day will see the whole family entertained as Royal Randwick hosts free kids activities, including a Peppa Pig stage show, a jumping castle, face painting, a petting zoo, and much more. For more information, visit the ATC.com.au.
It's back for the spring. Monday morning at 9. Hunters Postmortem.
Racing HQ being seen on Sky Thoroughbred Central, Sky One, and also on Sky Sports Radio right around the place. You can listen to us on the Tab app as well. And just a reminder, the Cancer Council have launched the Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study. They need 50,000 Australians to create one of the largest research groups ever. Now, this is a fantastic initiative helping to investigate the causes of cancer and other diseases. They're after gentlemen between 40 and 74. You can check it out at abcstudy.com.au. They don't want people that have had cancer, so they can work through the processes other than non-melanoma skin cancer. Now, researchers want to hear from you. If you're aged between 40 and 74 and male, go to abcstudy.com.au. We're back with Mike Fraser. Mike, we're just waiting for the scratchings to become, well, they've gone straight to final, and we've got a couple of decent ones that have just come through. Superstar Bob has come out of the Tab Highway. And let's go through them. So these scratchings have gone straight to final. Fine and a soft 7 for Randwick. Penetrometer 5.91 and the rail is true. Race 1 now has 2 scratchings. Take out 7 for Noon and 8 Regimen has just come out. 7 and 8 out of the first. Race 2, number 7, 7th Chick and 10 Centre of Attention. 7 and 10. The third, number 9, Abahar, and 10, Dorf Star, 9 and 10. Race 4, number 3, Superstar Bob on Vet's Advice, as well as 11, Eva Jean, 13, Mr. Marmalade, 14, Verbal, and 16, Devlin. 3, 11, 13, 14, and 16. Race 5, number 9, Springbok Flyer, number 9. Race 6, Clear. Race 7, The Missile, take out 5. That's a good idea, number 5. Race 8, 1 Top Striker and 8 Clipper, 1 and 8. And Race 9, 1 Lord Von Costa, 2 Stella Ombra, 3 Den Pur has come out, and 13 No Interest. So 1, 2, 3 and 13. So we've had some key additionals quite late in the go there, Mike.
Yeah, we certainly have. None more so than the superstar Bob. One good ride for Tommy Berry there. It's a shame that failed a vet certificate. But look, we'll get through this. I've got to make a couple of minor adjustments to my numbers. But yes, that's interesting.
Tommy Berry is online right now on Racing HQ. Morning to you, Tommy.
Hey, Andrew, how are you?
Mike? Yeah, good, mate. Disappointing you've lost the favourite there in the Tab Highway. Obviously a reason down there for Matt Dale.
Yeah, no, it's always disappointing when you lose quality rides like that, especially when the fields are the way they are. They're pretty competitive fields all day. Still left with a couple of chances there, so we'll see how we go. Yeah,
let's go through them, and Mike Fraser will join in. I know you're pretty keen to get Wild Heart back onto a bigger track.
Yeah, I am. I think he's a nice horse. He's always showed above average ability, and he's been quite consistent the whole way through his preparations. And, you know, the soft track is definitely not going to hinder his chances today. He won 2 starts ago on a heavy track at Warwick Farm when he led, and look, it probably wasn't my best ride on him last start. I got a little bit too far back and gave him too much of a task to run down the top two, and he was hitting the line quite strong late. So I think the bigger track will suit him well. He's drawn a nice enough barrier where he can put himself just on the speed. There doesn't look to be a heap of pressure with Regiment coming out. Dig Deep Nature looks to be the lead, and I wouldn't see myself being too far away from it.
Yeah, just on Wild Heart, Tommy, to see the Hawks team have thrown the blinkers on this horse today. Is that helping focus a little bit more?
Yeah, it does. And that's probably what caught me by surprise last start. He's always been a horse that's travelled really well in the bridle for you. And last start, I just come out on him neutral, just thinking that he put himself there. And he ended up being, you know, a lot further back than he did. So well, that was probably a bit my fault and a bit more just relaxing a bit. Than we expected him to, so I put them on him to sharpen him up, and he's been working quite well in him at home. So, when the Hawks team put a set of blinkers on a horse, they usually react quite well to him.
Yeah, look, you've got a good ride in race C on Francesco. He was wide and brave behind Pelothronius here at Randwick last start, and the soft track definitely a bonus for him.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't really see his being anywhere else but wide last start. There wasn't a heap of speed in the race, and we drew him wide, so it wasn't. It was a sort of recipe for disaster there. But he toughed it out really well and went right back for his runs. Early on last prep and even the prep before that, and he seems to be better. I think with just a touch off the pace, where he's got more to chase, and it looks to be a nice bit of speed in the race today with his a given. King Darcy won't be far away, I don't think. Zoo King could go forward, and Imperial Augustus will be right there as well. So we'll probably just ride him a touch more on the negative side today, and ride him to his advantage, and that's his turn of foot. And I think after his last run, it puts him in good stead for this race.
It certainly does. Over to race 6, you're on. So, Willie, you know this horse really well. You've won on him twice before now. He's coming back from 1800 to 1600. I think that's probably the key to him performing well again today.
Yeah, I think so, and especially when you're running on a soft track over a mile at Randwick, it's like running over a little bit further anyway, as we all know. So he's drawn a very good barrier just to get a comfortable running behind the speed. You'll probably see him a little bit closer today, just because of the lack of speed in the race. This is obviously Gold Ambition and as I am, and I'm not sure how much pressure they'll put into the race, but if they don't go overly quick, he'll be a little bit closer. But he loves soft tracks. His last win was at Randwick over the mile, and he's been competitive all prep, and he's probably just been, he's obviously a lot more effective on soft tracks because they can't sprint away from him. Where his last start, you'll see he come out to wind up, and they just had a better turn of foot than him late. So I'd be expecting a pretty bold showing from today, and I think he's probably my best ride of the day.
Yeah, you finished with a couple of roughies. You ride Gender BN for Paul Perry, well-performed country performer. I suppose the upside is he does get through the ground quite well.
Yeah, I won't be on him now, Mike. He's with a 55 of being Brook all week, so I've gotten off him.
And Denarius in the last, you're on it?
Yeah, don't know too much about this bloke, obviously being from Queensland, but Brian Wakefielder, always remember him bringing horses to Sydney when Nathan and I were apprentices, and we'd always had a lot of luck for him. He's very good at travelling his horses, and he's been pretty quiet for a while, but he's obviously got an opinion of this bloke, and he ran a really good race first up from the spell the other day when running fourth. So, he's in his right grade, but probably a bit tougher coming to Sydney. But, he'll get back from the barrier, and if they're running home from behind, he's in with a chance.
Yeah, I can tell you one positive, apart from your booking of the horse, that he has won second up twice before this horse, so maybe that may help. And just before we let you go, you pumped for Hong Kong?
Yeah, I am. You know, I really haven't thought about it too much. I've been concentrating on Sydney racing, because when I do go to Hong Kong, I've obviously got 2 weeks off before I start my season over there. So I've sort of left all the organising up to Shani and John Moore to do it between themselves, and just concentrated on what I had to do here. But I am looking forward to getting over there. It's something that's sort of been in the process for a few years now, and you know, everything's set up, ready to go. We've got the apartment ready to go, and I'm just looking forward to you know, having a full season over there and competing with the big boys.
Yeah, wish you every success when you get over there. You won't have any trouble mixing with those guys.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Mike.
Cheers.
He's going to come into the studio in a couple of Thursdays. We'll promote it when we get a little bit closer. You've still got a couple of Saturdays to go, though, haven't you?
Yeah, I got. I'll only ride sort of Saturday, Wednesday for the last 2 weeks that I'm here, just to give myself plenty of time to, you know, organise things and just catch up with people before I leave. So I won't be doing Wednesday. So I'll do the odd trial meeting, I think, on I've got a ride to teacher call back in the trials on Tuesday at Randwick. So you'll still be seeing quite a bit of me before I leave.
All right, beautiful. It is a significant day, Tommy, for the National Jockeys Trust. We urge people to support it. And you go out there, you lost Nathan tragically for a non-related racing issue a few years ago, but we urge people to support the jockeys. We often bag you, mate, but this is the day where we've got to think about it.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and over the past sort of, I think, 5 to 10 years, the National Jockeys Trust has just continued to grow, and the support behind it's been amazing. And we do urge you to support it even more, but we also thank you for the support that you've given us all so far. You probably don't think that we think about it much, but all the jockeys, we really do appreciate all the help that we are given, and we really appreciate everything you do for us. And if you could keep that going, it'd be much appreciated as well.
No, good on you. Thanks a lot, Tommy. Good luck today out there, mate.
I appreciate it. Thanks for that, Andrew. Thanks, Mike.
Cheers, mate.
Tommy Berry joining us there. The National Jockeys Trust is on njt.org.au. And that rider, Mike, in race 8 for Gendy, and number 9 is Christian Reith. Race 8, number 9, Christian Reith, replacing Tommy Berry. Can't ride it. The 55 today. He's been a big crook during the week. Peter Snowden's up next on Racing HQ. Morning to you, Pete.
Morning, Andrew.
How you been, mate? Everything sort of pumping along quietly in the early stages, seeing a few trialling?
Yeah, no, all good. As you said, the good horses aren't far off now, so it's an exciting time. We're happy the weather stays with us, and we get some good tracks to work on and race on, and we'll be right.
Good morning, Pete. Mike here.
Morning, Mike.
How are you, buddy? Look, just go through your rides, through your runners, I should say. In the first, you've got Brave Song, this lightly raced, now 3-year-old. His most recent win at Canterbury was only a 2-year-old maiden, but gee, it had a bit of a wow factor about it.
Yeah, he did a good job. He got back a little ways in the race, and the half mile, I was starting to skip away on him, but here he made a move quickly up around him, and he made one move and eased and went again. That's why I like him. He made 2 runs on him, and he was really good late. So, a bit to offer. We'll get his test today, though. There's a couple of handy horses there today. So, but this time, you've got to expect it. You're going to be competitive. You need to find out where you are at this level. But I'm really happy with 3 weeks into that run at Canterbury, and he's trained on beautifully. He just pulled up 2. Well, I was going to wait another 3 weeks to his next start, but he's done so well on that time since Canterbury. Work on Tuesday was excellent. So, the horse is still on the way up, so it's a good time to have a crack at a race like this.
Certainly. Over to race 3, you've got Zornkenegg. This horse sort of over-raced, seemed a little bit ring-rusty first up behind Hunter Jack. So he's back from 1,500 to 1,400. Do we view that as a positive or a negative?
A positive. It's just frustration. The horse is ready to go and just nowhere to go. I knew in my own mind the race was the wrong race for him. But just, as I say, just nowhere to go. And I had to get the horse started, but back in the trip start of this, not a problem, and really is my mile to 2,000 is the right distance, but still very fresh in himself, and that gate's just a touch awkward, but a little bit of speed around him should help him get across, and you know, no doubt he'll look a chance somewhere on the straight, but probably be better suited when he gets to a mile, and third up will be more his go.
Yeah, over to race 6, you've got Stein. He's coming out of the right race a fortnight ago behind Palathronius, and your boy was quite luckless when it counted.
Yeah, and look, he just had nowhere to go, Mike. It's pretty clear to see he was, looked to me like he had a fair bit to offer, and Cameron was very frustrated when he came back. He wasn't able to sort everywhere he went. Just when he went in, he got checked. When he went out, he got checked. Three times he changed course. Three times he got disappointed. So the race got away from him at the end. Just a total forgive run. He's a super honest horse and really done particularly well since that start. I had in my mind I was going to wait for 3 weeks to go to a 2,000 metre race next week, but he's just done so well. A soft track today is no problem. Getting that big weight relief today is a big plus, I thought. So he's going to run well today. I can see him run a good race.
Yeah, having the missile station scratch, that's a good idea, obviously, because of the wet.
Yeah, he just doesn't get through the wet tracks, and he's the horse is down in confidence, and running on wet ground is the last thing you want to be doing, so he doesn't wait for another day.
Yeah, and of course you've got Tycoon Tara. It was a fighting win in the Tats Diarra last start. You've given her a little freshen up since then. Does that last win sort of put her becoming a mum on hold again?
Temporarily, yeah. She'll definitely go to stud, but the owners just want to give her one more go back in work before she went, and just so she goes to start out of the stable, which is quite a lot of breeders like them that way. That they sort of go, they cycle a lot quicker and they go in a foal a lot sooner. So the reason for the next couple of runs, maybe one, maybe two, depending on what she does today, will determine what she does. But she's in great order. She looks fantastic. She had a couple of weeks break from Arca Brisbane, a well-deserved break. She's done a super job to win the race that she did win. Really happy with her. She looks great. She's probably just lacks that little tweaking you get for first up performance, but come back with a lot of residual fitness in her legs. Just with track work alone, she's not blowing a match out. She went to Canterbury on Tuesday and did some solid work and good on Thursday morning, so I'm happy with her. Probably faced a pretty tough task today with so much speed in the race. She's certainly not going to be able to dictate terms today. It'll be a solid run race. But she's there to run well. She's very honest, and no doubt she will run well again.
Okay, over to race 8, you've got Could Have Been. She's certainly a mare in form.
Yeah, she's going well, and a good race this. Probably a stronger race than last start, but she's going particularly well. She looks terrific, the mare, and she probably really does relish, likes racing better when she got started to chase down. As was the case the other day, she probably got to front a bit too soon. But through no fault of Karen's, just that leader just collapsed in front of her and left her there sitting shot. But today you can see a lot of speed there. We can just get that right runner and just ambush late. She's in with a great chance.
Yeah, over to the last year, Scratch Denpur. Obviously, I'm assuming because she doesn't look too good in the soft either.
Yeah, and she's got great first up form. I'm just hoping the weather just comes right and it's just a one off thing, this wet track today, because we've had great, good tracks for the last 3 or 4 weeks around everywhere. But I thought I'll wait for better track because, running on wet tracks just puts their confidence down. And she's, as I said, particularly good first up.
And spending to win, of course, she'll be fully fit now after two nice on-pace runs. And I think maybe the claim could be the key here.
It'll help, and that good draw is a big plus as well. And I'll be notifying the steward today. It'll be our intention just to try and get a sit on something. I know he's led his last couple, but I just think he's a better horse. Quite often he gets the front, and he floats a bit and waits. I think just from that really good barrier today, there are 3 or 4 horses that will like to push forward. Won't be our first aim. We'll really get a sit. As it happens, if it doesn't, we'll so be it. But if he could just sit in behind something, have a last look at him, it just might be enough to get him home.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks very much for your time, Pete, and best of luck for the new season. How's the rest of the team going?
Yeah, no, happy with them. Looking forward to the trials on Tuesday. As I said, with Brazil and Russian, Pariah and Vader, they're all stepping out on Tuesday. So those good to see those better horses get back to the races, and looking forward to the young ones as well.
Yeah, and Pete, I want to ask you about one down at Kembla, if I can. You've scratched Smart Edge, but a horse called Conquest out of Victory Tycoon runs today. It's trial behind a couple of your handy horses earlier on this year. What are the expectations there today?
Yeah, nice horse, Andrew. That's a small field, but you can make a case of 4 of them. So tough race, but he's a horse that has showed us good ability. He's trialing nicely. He works well. Yeah, just a bit of a sit and see. I've got aspirations of him going a bit further up, but he needs to be running a good race today against those better horses.
Righto, we'll wait and see what unfolds down there. Good luck with all of them today, Pete.
Cheers, guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All trainers and jockeys, we appreciate coming on all of our programs, whether they be on radio or TV. But I tell you one, Peter or Paul, they do a magnificent job. They every time we contact them, yep, no problem. We had Paul on Tuesday from Canterbury when those horses galloped there, Mike, and Well, they just pass on so much relevant information for our listeners, for our punters.
And the other thing is we had Paul on last Saturday too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, they are always there and we really do appreciate it. And the only way I can do that is by saying it on air, and we really do appreciate. Given that, we can't get Bjorn Baker. What in the hell's going on there? Bjorn has said, I'm in a meeting, can't grab him. So let's go to Jack Baker. Jack gives us more anyway. Morning to you, Jack.
Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for having me.
Oh, fair dinkum. Well, Bjorn said he's in a meeting. What meeting is held at 7:50 on a Saturday?
No, I believe Ben Baker has a very important rugby match this morning. and I think Ben Baker's on the sidelines there. I think he's actually running the drinks this morning.
Oh, I can imagine him on the sideline.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we're excited by one horse today, and that's in the first Addicted Nature. Off its debut run, take us through your thoughts going into today.
Well, we're very pleased with how he's trained on. Obviously, it was a high-pressure race for his first start in the race, but he's come through it in super order, and he really looks outstanding. So Bjorn's just taking baby steps with him as we increase the grade that he's in, but we like him, and he certainly presents very well today.
You had to be impressed with his effort there at Warwick Farm, Jack, where he was sort of made to do a lot of work up on the speed, but still had a strong kick the last couple of hundred.
Yeah, he did. Look, that was the most impressive part about the race, that he could sustain that speed and still kick off it. So I think in time he'll be much better ridden with a sit and when he gets over more ground. But at these shorter trips for a Savabeel colt, he's certainly got the speed. So, look, he at this stage of his career, we can sort of ride him any way we like.
Yeah, exactly. Over to race two. Look, this horse is not favourite or anything, but this Shanaki closed well behind La Chicabella at Warwick Farm last start and seems to be looking for the extra ground today.
She definitely is. She's going super, actually, Shanaki. She really is going well, but the barriers have been her Achilles heel of late. So we'd like her to posey up as close as she can, but sort of her last four starts, she just misses the kick and ends up last. So I guess with that racing pattern, she needs favours, but she's a horse going well and certainly looking for that 1,800.
Yeah, definitely. Over to race six, you've got Gold Ambition. She'll be fully fit here, having his fifth run back, and looks to get a pretty soft lead in front here.
Well, he does, yeah. So, look, Gold Ambition's been very hit and miss on his day. He's a very nice horse. He sort of, his Warwick Farm run on the 8th, he led them up, travelled strongly and produced a nice kick. And then when he went to Randwick last start, he didn't offer anything in the straight. So, tricky little horse to catch, and his record does suggest that. But, yeah, look, he maps well again, and he's pleasing us at home. So he'll go to the races today, and we just hope he puts his best foot forward, really.
Yeah, another one that's a model of consistency, Sandy Ovesi, in race eight. The last half dozen starts have all been sound, and the wet's no issue.
No, the wet, if it gets too real heavy, it sort of is, but I think today's track will be right for her. A really honest mare she is. Back to the 1,000 metres, I think, is her pet trip, and the more speed on, the merrier for her. So I hope she can get a Saturday win. She really does deserve it.
Yeah, I'd say the 3-year-old in race one, the best of Bjorn's runners.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, he's the best of ours today. I guess we're just hoping that it all goes right for him today. But I'm looking forward to seeing him away from home as well. He's certainly the best of our four. Yeah,
that's great. Thanks very much for your time, Jack.
No worries. Thank you.
Good on you, Jack. Jack Bruce, stable foreman for Bjorn Baker this morning, who's on the sidelines at a rugby union kids game. All right, Mike, back in a moment. Mark Van Gestel will join us, and also Paul Joyce to preview Randwick today. But let's look at all the scratchings now for our TAB programs. Repeating now, we've just got a late one. Oh, gee. You still there, Mike?
Yeah.
Clippers what? Come out of the last.
Oh, okay.
Just through Clipper at 7:45 is a late scratching. Now, Matt Dales had to scratch Superstar Bob on Vets, and now Clipper on Vets as well in the last. So this market will change a little bit in the last. We'll go through them all now, but Clipper coming out, Mike.
That's a shame. That's a shame. Another one of my selections gone by the wayside. So I've got a bit of work to fix up here, Andrew.
All right, you get pumped into that. Yeah, you get going with that. Let's have a look at Randwick. We're on a soft 7, penetrometer 5.91, and the rail is true. Race one, take out 7 Fanoon and 8 Regimen. That's 7 and 8. Race two, number 7, 7th Kick and 10 Centre of Attention. 7 and 10. The third, number 9, Abahar and 10 Dwarf Star. 9 and 10. Race four, the Tab Highway. 3 Superstar Bob. 11 Eva Jean. 13 Mr. Marmalade. 14 Verbal and 16 Dev Lamb. 3, 11, 13, 14 and 16. Race 5, number 9, Springbok Flyer, number 9. Race 6, Clear. Race 7, 5, That's a Good Idea is out, number 5. Race 8, 1 Top Striker and 8 Clipper, 1 and 8. And Race 9, 1 Lord Von Costa, 2 Stella Ombra, 3 Den Purr, 9 Clipper, a late one, on vets at a quarter to weight, and 13 No Interest. 1, 2, 3, 11 a late one, and 13. The one rider, race 8, number 9, is Christian Reith, C. Reith, race 8, number 9, for the program at Randwick. Today we're on a soft 7 for that day, Jockey Celebration Day. As it is at Kembla, the track's improved to a soft 5, the rail at 6 metres, fine and a bit windy down there as well. First two races are clear. Race 3, number 5, Smart Edge, number 5. Race 4, number 3, Rowinda, number 3. Race 5, clear. Race 6, number 8, Redabil. 9, Scent of a Woman. And 10, Maya Distilio. 8, 9 and 10. Race 7, number 3, Robbery, number 3. And Race 8, number 7, Crown Moss. Race 8, number 7. That's the information for Kembla. We move now to Kempsey. It's a Tab program in New South Wales. It's fine and a good 4. The rail is true. The first two races are clear. Race 3, take out 7 and 11. Race 4 is clear. Race 5, number 11. And race 6, take out the 3 emergencies. 13, 14 and 15. We move to Flemington in Melbourne. They're going to have strong winds, nowhere near last week. About 25 knots gusting to 60 late in the day is what they're saying, late in the day. Flemington's a good 4, the rail at 6 metres. Race 1, take out 6, Arrow Route, number 6. Pardon me. Race 2 is clear. The third, number 4, Prosecution, and 7, Made to Measure, 4 and 7. The fourth, number 10, Lotaro, number 10. Race 5, number 1, Beatniks, and 4, Smackdown, 1 and 4. Race 6, number 4, Global Gentle, 6, Crafty Cruiser, 10, Ashley Marie, and 12, La Tuchador, 4, 6, 10, and 12. Race 7, Flemington, 1, Mr. Gustafo, 2, Capset, and 11, Antagonist, 1, 2, and 11. Race 9, race 8 is clear. Race 9, number 9, Majestic Duke is out, number 9. And race 10, number 5, Tan Tat Trusting, race 10, number 5. That's the information for Flemington today. We move to Brisbane, 25 degrees, fine and sunny in Brisbane. Doomben a good 4, penetrometer 4.8 and the rail at 4. Race 1, number 6, Galtiero, number 6. Race 2, number 1, Get on the Grange and 9, Infinite Rain, 1 and 9. The third, number 4, Mr. McBass, 9, Tap This, 10, Goldian, 11, High Degree and 12, Little Wealth. 4, 9, 10, 11 and 12. The fourth, number 8, Light Shows, number 8. Race 5, number 9, Common Cena and 11, Regali, 9 and 11. Race 6, number 1, Winning Accord, 2, Endless Puzzle, 9, I'm No Ruby, 11, Subsolar, 12, What's That, and 14, Steal a Diamond. 1, 2, 9, 11, 12 and 14. Race 7, take out 5, Care to Think, and number 9, Articus, 1 and 9. Race 8, take out 3, Ocean City, 6, He's a Natural, 8, Lifesaver, 9, Lord Marmaduke, number 11, Miss Marlaboose, 12, Muddy Rope, 15, Magic Diamond, and 16, Windy Sands. 3, 6, 8, 9, 11, 12, 15 and 16. And race 9 at Doomben, 2, Frespinol, 4, Londa Hero, 11, Single Chance, 13, Denarius, and 15, Better Land. 2, 4, 11, 13 and 15. That's the information there for that program at Doomben. And today we race on the Morfordville Park's inner track in Adelaide. It's a heavy eight with the rain they've had overnight, 6 millimetres in the last 24 hours. A heavy eight for the Parks, and the rail is true. The first two races are clear just before they go interim. Race three, number seven, Magnus Knight, number seven. The fourth, number two, Eximus, number two.